So this morning we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. So it's what I hope will be a kind of a continued series going through 1 John. So we're just going to be starting out today in chapter 1. So it's a short chapter, so I'm going to go ahead and just read it to get us started. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So in the beginning, God made us, and he made us male and female, and it says he made us in his image. Mm-hmm. So this means that we're created to be in relationship. God is in a relationship. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we were created the same way, and we're created to be in relationships.
Amen.
Relationships with each other, in relationships with God himself. Amen. So as I read 1 John, I think, the purpose is to bring us into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In verse 3 it says,
Amen.
That you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So, John begins, and we see the first three chapters is just kind of one very long sentence. But he begins by making his case that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came to earth in physical form, and that John, among others, personally experienced this. So there are some now, and there were some back then, that would say that Jesus was a great person, he did a lot of really great things, but he wasn't really the Son of God. And there are others that would say, he really was the Son of God, but he really didn't come in person. He was just a spirit or an aberration. So John starts out, and he wants to clear that up. So first thing he says, that which was from the beginning, in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. And this is echoed in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. So he's saying that God was in the beginning, and that's also from Genesis, where it says, in the beginning. So in the Greek, that's the same word used in John 1 and in Genesis. And then also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Timothy says, God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So we know, and we know that Jesus was there from the beginning. And then he goes on to say, what we have heard and what we have seen. And he was giving again an account of what he and others heard and seen. He says, what we have heard, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. So in Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 33, it says, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He spoke the word to them. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the word. and he was from the beginning, and he came, and he was speaking the word to them.
Amen.
Paul, in Romans 1 through 4, so Paul begins a letter to the Romans kind of the same way, but also declaring that Jesus is the Son of God and came to earth in physical appearance. So in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God which he promised from before his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born through the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Of God which he promised before his before through his prophets, and born through the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. And then concerning handling, it says, which we have handled, and our hands have handled. So in Luke 24, 39, and this is after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus says, after he appears to his disciples, he said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He says, handle me. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Mm-hmm. So there should be no doubt that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he also came in physical appearance. Amen. That he died and that he rose again in a physical body. So this means that the eternal God became accessible to us and revealed himself to us in a way that we could relate to.
Yes, amen.
So in from the beginning, as Mike alluded this morning, from the beginning, God had plans to save each one of us through Jesus Christ if we would believe on his Son. And then going forward, it says, the life was manifested. In chapter 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So Jesus is the word of life manifested to us. So according to Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, it says manifest means to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. So it was made certain to us by showing or displaying us. In John chapter 17, verse 6, it says, for as Jesus is praying for his disciples, he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given to me out of the world. They were yours. You have given them to me, and they have kept your word. And then in John 3:5, he says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. And 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And then that we may have, so and then John goes on, that we may have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. So going back to verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. So they're declaring this in the, that which they have seen and heard, they're declaring, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I thought it was interesting that he says that we have seen and that we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. So talking about all of the disciples. So the idea of fellowship here is not only an idea of a relationship, but also of sharing a common life. So fellowship is,
amen,
we can have fellowship, we can have a relationship, but it's about sharing common life and having common goals and common interests. And it is through fellowship with Jesus Christ that we become more like him and that we continue to grow through him.
Amen.
And the result of this fellowship with Jesus is that our joy may be full. So in chapter 4 it says, or verse 4, it says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So as Christians, we should be, our joy should be full. Our joy should be overflowing. No matter what's going on, there can be lots of things going on, but we should be we should be full of joy. In John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And again, Jesus says in John 16, 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And in John 17, 13, it says, "But now I have come to you, and these things I speak to the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So Jesus wants us to be full of his joy, that those who follow him. He wants us to be full, and it's not dependent on what's going on in our lives, because we're always going to have stuff going on. But we should be filled with the joy that we're joint heirs with Christ. So as Christians, we should be filled with joy. Our eternal joy is not found in worldly things or relationships, even though some of those relationships may be good. They may be really great relationships, but that's not where our joy should come from. But our true joy is found in relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So then moving on, so that was kind of verses 1 through 4. And then moving on to verses 5 through 10, it changes a little bit, and it talks about Jesus being the light of the world, or Jesus being the light. So it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So in multiple locations in the New Testament, Jesus is declared as being the light. Timothy states in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in unapproachable light. Mm-hmm. And James describes God as the Father of lights. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Jesus is declared to be the light of the world. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, that we see that when Saul was converted on his way to Damascus, that it says a great light shone around him from heaven. So Jesus is light. God is light. Jesus is light. And in light there can be no darkness. So darkness is the absence of light. So if we walk with Jesus and strive to be more like him, the light will fill us more and more, and the darkness will be driven out as Jesus cleanses us of our sins. And that's in verse 7. So verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sins." So Jesus is the light, and as we walk in that light, and as we continue to be more and more like him, he cleanses us and promises to cleanse us from all of our sins. However, in the previous verse, in verse 6, it says, "If we simply say that we have fellowship with him, but we still walk in darkness." So verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So if we just say that we follow Jesus we haven't been changed and we don't act any differently. So if I come on Sunday and I say that I'm a Christian, but I go out the rest of the week and I just act like nothing changed, it says I'm a liar.
Yes.
It says I'm a liar and I'm not practicing the truth. If we are followers of Jesus, we have been changed. We've been changed, each one of us, when we believed in Jesus, when we accepted him. And that change is going to be evident in our hearts. It's going to be evident in the way that we live. A lot of times it's not going to be 100%. I was this way one day, the next day I'm totally 100% this way. For me, I think it was more of a slower road, but as you accept Jesus, you change and you continue to grow and you continue to grow and to hate the sins that you once enjoyed. We begin to no longer enjoy sins that once brought us pleasure. As we mature in our lives with Christ, we move away from old sins that once so easily ensnared us.
Right.
So it's important that we stop living a pattern of sin. Our lives stop being a pattern of unrepentant sin. If we have setbacks along the way, we all have setbacks along the way, and it grieves us, mm-hmm. and we repent from our sins and we move forward. It's not a way of life for us anymore.
Amen.
And if anyone says that they are a Christian, but their life doesn't agree, they are a liar. In Matthew 7:15-20, talk about false prophets, and it says that we will know them by their fruits. When it says we will know them by their fruits, I think this is referring to a pattern of unrepentant sin. Not everybody sins, but it's a pattern of unrepentant sin in our lives. In verse 8, it says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's interesting that he says if we say that we have no sin and then say that we have not sinned in the past tense. So either one. Say that I have not sinned. It says if I say that I... if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So if I say that I've never sinned before, I make him a liar, because he says all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Right. If I say that I have no sin, I'm deceiving myself. Because even Paul said that he fights against the flesh, and we fight against the flesh constantly. But we have faith in Jesus Christ. Even though we strive to be like Christ, we all have sinful thoughts or desires. But Paul said in Romans that he still wrestled with the flesh. But we're made righteous through Jesus Christ. So it's important to acknowledge that we have sin and confess our sins. For it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So, has all had any comments or thoughts on?
Amen.
This walking in the light with Christ goes along with what we were talking about Thursday night from 1 John 5, about can't I remember it right now? This is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's all about this connection with Christ. We have the Son, we have life. We have not the Son of God, we have not life. It's this fellowship with him, walking with him, where we are in this state of being justified, purified, sanctified. He cleanses us from all sin. It's this
Amen.
Place of safety and joy. And not just that we ought to be joyful, we do have joy. Not something you can just make yourself have. It is the joy of the Lord. It comes from him. Mm-hmm.
It's a genuine joy that flows. It's the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit, yeah.
And just to emphasize even stronger what you said about the importance of not having unrepentant sin. Not just in a pattern of unrepentant sin, but one unrepentant sin will take you to hell. If you are stubborn and rebellious and refuse to yield to God and the Holy Spirit's conviction, that is a path to hell. But thank God we have this Holy Spirit who convicts us and prods us and makes it hard for us to kick against the pricks.
Amen.
Amen.
And that we have an advocate interceding for us at the right hand of God. You know, if we didn't have one of the two of those, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit prodding us or Christ interceding for us, then we'd be lost.
All of our good deeds are like filthy rags for him, so.
Beautiful that verse 9 is in between verses 8 and 10.
because verses 8 and 10 would be kind of depressing without verse 9. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, acknowledging that, yep, there's a good possibility that you may sin again before you die. We're not happy about that. But there's a remedy. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's that seed remaining in you, and you cannot sin. That new man. We talked about when you're born again, how there's a fundamental change. And now the real us, the one that we're going to identify with, hates sin. And sometimes we don't walk in the Spirit. And sometimes we sin. But there's a remedy. And when we confess, we're forgiven and we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. So we're not walking around all dirty and stained. Mm-hmm. We really are fresh and clean and new. And
amen.
Our new man, our spirit is free. We have fellowship with God in that sense. If you're hanging around and sin, boy, sure sounds good, you sure want to do it, but oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. And there's always that decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's not a new man. But if you sin and you're sorrowful for it, and you're sorry that you displeased God and you want to be like Jesus, then that's a good sign. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, drawing you back to confession and to really, truly be cleansed.
Amen.
And I think there might be a correlation between being joyful, truly joyful, and being having repentance. Because the Lord, time and time again, as you mentioned, talks about having His joy. Not happiness, joy.
Yep.
It's happiness, yep. Its foundation is that of your circumstances, not the world.
Yep.
If you're in mere happiness but not joy, you're going to be prone to unrepentant sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. It is that cleansing of sin and that, you know, conviction of it to us, that awareness and really knowing that my sin is gone, that just floods your soul with that peace. And you know that there's nothing between you and God anymore. Nothing at all. And that God is smiling and He's pleased with you, welcomes you into His presence as one of His. That was all done by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole purpose of the whole thing, is to bring us to God.
Amen. And I think to your point, yeah, I think once you, and Julie as well, so if I'm not doing something just because I'm not supposed to do that, so I'm not going to do it. It looks really good, but I'm not going to do it. You're not going to have joy.
Right.
You're going to have joy when you say, no, I'm not interested. And that's doesn't even bring me any joy at all. Then you get your real joy.
What transcendent joy comes from, an inner joy, is different than the joy that we might feel as an outer joy, just for
sure. Yes. Yep.
Amen.
Cross of Christ, through whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Can anybody want an old dead corpse? If the world is crucified to us, we see in our new man, the real us, we see the pleasures of this world that are but for a season, they're sinful. We see that as like a dead corpse. We see that it's unpleasant, and as we're conformed to the image of Christ, and we see things more and more like God, we love what He loves, and we hate what He hates. And it's Him changing us. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's what we're doing together today, is we're renewing our minds with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
When we used to be pigs and dogs, some things look pretty good to us.
But now we look at that, we say that reminds me of vomit
and mud. And, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.